This is Dr. Anton Raimundo on In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800 AM. I've been on hiatus for a little bit here, and I'm glad to be back in the saddle here, hosting the show for you for the beginning of the new year. And so happy new year to you all. I hope you had a blessed Christmas. To some, we're still in the Christmas season. You know, Christmas is considered an octave, but we know that, Christmas can be considered to go all the way through February 2nd, the presentation of our Lord. And this weekend, you know, is the Epiphany. We'll celebrate about the three kings. So today we'll be talking about the three kings and what does that all mean to us today in our current life, because wise men still seek him. And that's all-inclusive, okay? That means all of us, you know, mankind. If we're wise, we would seek our Lord just like the three wise men. So if you want to listen in and hear about these three kings and what did they actually see? Was it a star? Was it a comet? And what was the background about all this and how does it apply to us today? And then what about the Feast of the Epiphany and house blessings and the so-called Epiphany water? Have you ever heard that there's different levels of blessing on holy water, or is all water, holy water, the same? So we'll get into that today. And so let's start off with the year, and this month is dedicated to the holy name of Jesus. And so let us pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ gave us, the Our Father. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. All right. Now, some of you are new to the program, what I have done the last year in 2023 was go over a book called The Wisdom of the Saints. And we actually completed that. I thought it was very good. I hoped the listeners liked it, too, because what we would do is go over the week of different quotes from a book called 365 Days, The Wisdom of the Saints, 365 Days of Inspiration from Matthew Kelly, and it's from dynamiccatholic.com. Their tagline is Be Bold, Be Catholic. I still would like to read some of this here because I think these quotes are so good that so I'm going to take quotes from this book for this segment of the show, and it's from January 1st through again through the 7th. So this one is from January 1st. From the quote is a famous quote from St. Catherine of Siena, and it says, "Be who God meant you to be, and you will set the world on fire." This is amazing because it just shows that, here is Catherine of Siena. Some people think that she was a nun, but actually she was a lay person, a single person who became a doctor of the church. Now, those aren't just regular saints, as if saints are regular. I mean, there's thousands of saints out there that are canonized, you know, in heaven, but there's only a few that are considered doctors, that they're extra, extra special, and there are four female doctors. I think there's 37 currently. I could be wrong, but if my memory serves me right, there are 37, and the first two female doctors was Teresa of Avila, lay Carmelite, and St. Catherine of Siena. They were actually made doctors of the church on the same day. They were just like a minute or so apart, you know, when they were declared doctors of the church. And, you know, she's the one that helped the Pope, the Avignon Pope, you know, to leave France and go back to the Vatican, because this is during the time, if you remember, when there were three supposed popes, and here was a layperson that was able to convince the Pope to go back, and who knew was the correct Pope. And here's an interesting story that I'll just throw in there as an extra, that, you know, there are two other great saints. They weren't doctors, but they were, as St. Catherine of Siena, a lay woman, virgin, would become a doctor of the church. There were other two saints named St. Vincent Ferrer, or I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, Ferrer, you know, like the actor, St. Vincent Ferrer, and St. Colette, though she was a sister, I think, of the Poor Clares. They actually had originally sided with the wrong pope. In other words, the anti-pope, the one who was not really declared the pope. Well, it wasn't, you know, at least St. Vincent's fault, because that anti-pope was his uncle who had told him misinformation, and he believed that. And then when he finally knew the correct information, then he sided with the correct pope. But yet, those two saints, a nun and a priest, St. Vincent Ferrer and St. Colette, nevertheless, they were able to become saints, even though they had sided with the wrong person. Whereas the lay person, St. Catherine of Siena, who became a doctor of the church, sided with the correct one, had the correct insight more than the priest, and more than the nun. So here's an example where, you know, the lay person themselves can have that sensus fidelium, the sense of the faithful, but actually been given more insight. So just an example out there that lay people too can be giving extra special graces besides the good priests and the good nuns out there, like St. Vincent Ferrer and St. Colette. So just a little piece of history there that really could bode well in helping us understand what's happening to us and in, you know, the recent past as well. All right, so let's go to another quote. This is from January 2nd, and this is about life, whereas the other one was from St. Catherine of Siena about trusting God. So the theme is life. And it's from St. Augustine. It says, pray as though everything depended on God. Work as though everything depended on you. Is that amazing? I mean, we hear this many times, and we may not have realized this came from St. Augustine. Pray as though everything depended on God. Work as though everything depended on you. Now, St. Augustine, of course, is a doctor of the church. Just like St. Catherine of Siena, I didn't finish my story that, you know, there was four female doctors. The first two that were named the same day was Teresa of Avila and St. Catherine of Siena. The other one was one of my favorite saints, St. Therese, the Carmelite saint. And if any of you listeners know, it was on October 1st, the feast of St. Catherine of Therese Lisieux, that I had a miraculous healing of my back, and it was prophesied from our very own Kathleen McCarthy, who I met 3 years earlier and didn't know who I was, and saw and could detect that I had this back injury and that I need healing, you know, inside out, and she was a big part of that and had prophesied and said that, you know, one day you're going to be healed and you will be evangelized and speaking. And here I am, of all things, to be gifted with this opportunity to be on air on her network. And so praise God. Thank you, Kathleen McCarthy. And thank you, everybody there at InHisSign Network. They're from Frank the Engineer and Maureen, you know, our secretary there, and all the engineers and helpers there at InHisSign. And, of course, WTMR 800 AM. So I want to go and say the other fourth female doctor of the church that's more recent, it's Saint Hildegard of Bingen. So I think those are the only four female doctors of the church. Here's a quote from January 3rd from this book, Wisdom of the Saints, regarding sadness. And it's from Saint Thomas More, okay, a lay person, again, lawyer. And here it says, earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. Earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. That's interesting, considering how Thomas More was put to death for defending marriage against, you know, Henry VIII, right, who wanted a divorce because he wanted an heir to his throne. And, you know, here he's saying earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So here's this family man that, you know, I don't know if you watched that movie, the classic, one of the best you'll ever see, in my opinion, and many others, is A Man for All Seasons. Watch it and watch it again, and even read, you know, read history books and novels about that. You know, he wouldn't relent, even if, even though he knew he had to support his family, right? He did it for the sake of love of God and love of neighbor and Holy Mother Church. And so, you know, it, since this quote talks about earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal, well, we know that Jesus is the healer of healers. He's the divine physician. And so for all listeners out there, you know, First Friday is tomorrow, and that is where we traditionally have, you know, the Mike Altshuler and I will be co-hosting from 5 to 6 tomorrow for, you know, prayers for healing that you can call in like you do when you speak to our beloved Kathleen. And so you can call in tomorrow. I'll be on with Mike Altshuler from 5 to 6 and for different prayers. You can leave messages there with Maureen about different prayers if you can't hang on and speak with us directly. But again, it's the divine physician is essentially what St. Thomas More is saying, that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. I don't know about you during this, you know, Advent time, you know, December, Christmas time, that there's been a lot of people passing away. I don't know. Have you noticed that? It's like all of a sudden there's more and more people. I don't know if I'm just noticing because it's from my own relatives, you know, family members, you know, all over from the United States or just locally here. And so this has meaning here regarding sadness that Thomas More is talking about, that earth has no sorrow that heaven cannot heal. So you may be sorrowful about losing your spouse or grandparents or your sibling or a child or, you know, a cousin or friend or a deacon. You know, so, you know, God bless his heart, you know, a Deacon Shearer who passed away recently from St. Simon and Jude in Westchester. I gave respects to him and his family. And so different people like this, that these sorrows that we endure here, heaven cannot, will be able to heal us. And who is that specifically? Jesus, the divine healer, has come here and showed us the way. And today, of course, you know, is the feast day. You know, January 4th is St. Elizabeth Ann Seton. And so the theme for her quote is life. It says, live simply so that others may simply live. Live simply so that others may simply live. In other words, you know, don't get too materialistic and don't complicate things, you know. Keep it simple, and that others can be able to understand, you know, charity with clarity about our faith and about our Lord Jesus Christ and our church. Okay, and so let me go on here. Let me go to January 6th about prayer from St. Vincent de Paul. It says, a man of prayer is capable of everything. Again, meaning mankind, of course, right? So a person of prayer is capable of everything. So it goes hand in hand with, you know, we can do all things through Christ that strengthens us, right? Philippians 4, you know, chapter 4, verse 13. So this is very similar, that we're capable of everything, not because of our own doing. It's always Christ. It's God, the Holy Trinity, that helps us. So remember, all the good that ever comes from us or that happens to us comes from God. And anything that is sinful, well, we can take credit for that, because that's not God, of course, right? He may put us to the test to see how much love we have for him, right? And that's how, it's just like you go, you know, some people, when they start off New Year's, they make a resolution, well, I'm going to get stronger, or I'm going to lose weight, or I'm going to start dieting and stuff. They may get their own coach, you know, a fitness coach, and well, when the fitness coach or trainer helps them, they're going to gradually, you know, put on weight to the whatever Nautilus equipment or barbells or dumbbells, or do more repetitions or whatever exercises you do with kettlebells or using a, you know, a big physio ball or so forth. And that's how it is with, you know, with God. He allows temptation, you know, to test us. And the harder the temptation, you know, or the harder the difficulties, is also a testament to see if you're going to use the amount of graces he's giving you. So in other words, like when your fitness trainer decides to put on more weight than you think you can handle, it's actually probably because he has an inkling that you can lift that a few times, maybe not the full eight, maybe you can just lift it four, but he's making your muscles go more than you think you can. Well, God is doing the same thing. He's stretching your spiritual muscles. And isn't that more important than your body, really, if you think about it, right? Because our body is only going to last however long that God deems it to last. You know, I thank God for my grandmother lived till 103, you know, and she was fully capable of you know, talking and walking and thinking up until the last week. And my grandfather lived till 97. So whether one is blessed to live that long or, you know, like my own son, baby, who passed away, you know, just after 9.5 weeks. So, you know, I've seen both sides of it, you know, losing one. A son when as young as 9.5 weeks old versus losing grandparents over 100 or close to 100. So when these sorrows happen to us, or these crosses that we bear, whether it's financial, whether it's marriage problems, death in the family, disability, diseases, that these crosses God gives us, because he knows that we can handle it if we depend on his grace, accept his grace. So start off the year, if you're going to do anything as far as your spiritual fitness, is to go to confession if you haven't already for the Christmas season, and start off the year and get, you know, right with God, so your soul will be clean, and watch how things can change in your life. All right. And then the last one is from Faustina. And it's about mercy, of course, the same Faustina. And it's for January 7th, the quote. And it says, mercy is the greatest attribute of God. Mercy is the greatest attribute of God. You know, the word, Latin word, misericordia, right? It looks like, sounds like misery, but that's where we get the word mercy. But the cordia part, some of you may realize, that is the cord or the core, the heart. So misericordia, you know, there might be colleges named after that, right, means the merciful heart. So this is God, that he is misericordia. Right, he has a merciful heart. That yes, he is just, but he also has a merciful heart. Well, we are done with this segment. And so let's start off with the next segment here as far as going over the readings like we do. Now, some of you are lucky enough to go to different Bible studies where you may encounter on Wednesdays or Thursdays to meet, like there's some men's group that meets and talks about the upcoming readings. And so hopefully you'll get some benefit from myself, not that I'm, you know, anything special. I'm just a lay person. I'm not a priest or a deacon. I'm just, you know, a dad, a husband here, and who just loves the Word of God and been studying it all my life. Yes, I'm a Carmelite and such, but I just want to share also my insights as well and gather it from different commentaries like I do. So let me read to you the first reading for January 7th. Now, if you have, I highly recommend the Word Among Us here. Our pastor at St. Agnes in Westchester is generous to have us or some benefactor giving this. Somehow we get this for the parishioners who want to get this in the entryway of the narthex of the church there. And so I highly recommend it. So if you look at the Word Among Us, or whether you have Magnificat or some other source, or Real Missal, there's two choices, the Vigil Mass reading and the Mass in the day. And I'm going to talk about the Mass during the day. And the first one's from Isaiah chapter 60. It says, the first six verse, "Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of the Lord shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They'll all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah. All from Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense, and proclaiming the praises of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So here we can see how this ties in, this prophecy from Isaiah about how there will be people coming from about, you know, and in fact, it gets pretty specific, bearing gold and frankincense. All right. And so here is a reading from, you know, Isaiah chapter 60, you know, the scripture, Hebrew scriptures, and that was written, you know, maybe 5 or 6 centuries before Jesus was born, right? And yet it says specifically, you know, that all from Sheba shall come bearing gold and frankincense, proclaiming the presence of the Lord. And exactly that's what was happening, right? The wise men, will get into that with the gospel reading, they do come with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? And they were not Jews. So they were the ones who came. And this is how the Isaiah tries to say to the Jews that your light has come. Remember, Christ is the light. He is the glory of the Lord. He is the glory of our Father in heaven. And so when he comes on to the earth, that's why it talks about, see, darkness covers the earth and thick clouds cover the peoples, but upon you the Lord shines, and over you appears his glory. And he talks about how the nations, meaning like the Gentiles, shall walk by your light, and kings, see how they use the word kings? By your shining radiance. So this is like the promise to the Jews about their Messiah. I shouldn't say their Messiah, but it's going to be ours, right? It's their Messiah individually, and I'll get into this after the break in 5 minutes here, but how this talks about actually inclusivity and exclusivity. And so what do I mean by these big words, right? They're like, is salvation only for the Jews? We know salvation came through the Jews, but was it only for them? And so here we'll get into more specifically, but here we see that, yes, Isaiah is talking to the Jews, and he's telling about how people from the Gentiles will be coming, and that that the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you, and the wealth of nations, from the Gentiles, in other words, shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries, you know, like you know, from these different places, Midian and Ephah. So here it's just, it's amazing how this can be written, you know, 400 or 500 years before, and yet that it happens here that the three kings, the Magi, come and fulfill this, you know, and it's not even their scriptures, right? So this is, you know, I think it was about 5 or 6 centuries actually before Christ when, you know, Isaiah's audience heard this. So that's really important here. And so it also goes into the fact, you know, like we had the readings where earlier this week, or was it today, the gospel about how in John, Jesus was approached by the two apostles, or would-be apostles. They were followers of John the Baptist. That'd be Andrew and John. And they go to Jesus, and they are asked from Jesus, you know, what are you looking for, right? And the answer is come and see, right, when they wanted to know where the master was staying. But why I mention this is because once John, St. John, and St. Andrew met the Messiah, Jesus, what did they do? They went right away to their brothers. They went to family and told them about the Christ. And it got to the point where, if you look in Scripture, St. John, he actually mentions the time of the day, 4 p.m. And so you think about, do you ever remember, like, when something beautiful happened to you, let's say when you met your spouse on the, you know, first time you laid eyes on each other, or the first date, or the first kiss, or the, you know, engagement, or the wedding? Yeah, hopefully you remember the wedding, the day of the wedding, right? If you don't, you're in trouble by your spouse. So mostly guys are the ones who forget. But anyway, so here is St. John, you know, remembering, like, with the sentimentality about when he met his Savior face to face and come and see, and he did, and he was never the same. So once you meet Christ, whereas if you meet him as a baby during Christmas and you experience the purity, the fragility of the baby Jesus coming and becoming human flesh, when you experience that, it should change you to the point that you want to tell others that you found him, the one you've been looking for. And the same thing, just like when you found your true love, it's like you want to tell people about it. I'm sure, like, if you went to a restaurant and you found this great, you know, place to eat, or, you know, place to get coffee or a movie, wouldn't you tell people about that? Well, what if you found, and you found really Christ touch you so deeply this Christmas? Don't you want to share that? Well, this is some of the point here, to the point where Isaiah is telling people about, you know, what is to come. And it does happen because God's words are always fulfilled. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour right now, and so we'll take a break. And I just want to thank Bernie O'Neill for sponsoring this show and to support his financial group, the O'Neill Financial Group in Westchester. And if any of you are of the ability to sponsor this show so we can keep going on. We would need that. That to please, you know, make sure you call in and to see if you can sponsor in any way or form that you can do. We would need that very much. And so we'll continue after the break. And so God bless you. And please stay on for the rest of the show after the break.
You're listening to In His Sign, Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Anton Raimundo here on In His Sign Catholic Radio, WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns. And we're in the second half of our program where we just finished talking about Isaiah and prophesying about the Christ, Jesus, and how there will be kings giving gold and frankincense. So we're going to get into that later on after we do the second reading for this coming Sunday, which is Epiphany. So we'll also be talking about the three kings. We'll talk about what did they see in the sky, and also different types of holy water and the effectiveness or the power of the various holy water. All right, so let's go to the second reading for this coming Sunday during the day, where some people will notice in their missalettes that there's also an optional reading for the Vigil Mass. So I'm doing the readings from the Mass of the day for Sunday, January 7th. And this is from Ephesians chapter 3. Brothers and sisters, you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely, that the mystery was made known to me by revelation. It was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. The word of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So isn't this amazing? Here is proof positive why we Gentiles, in other words, non-Jews, were grafted onto the true vine. So we are lucky here. So if we ever wonder, like, well, why are we part of, you know, the fulfilled Jewish faith? So those Jews who were waiting for the Messiah received the Messiah in Jesus Christ. He is our Lord and Savior. He is the true Messiah. He's the one that was prophesied and did come. He was the only one, if you look in all of history, that was ever prophesied, like, you know, the centuries prior to and of his coming and what he would do, and also that he would, you know, die and rise from the dead. There's no one else in history. Well, it's because there's no other God besides God himself, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so here is the proof positive that, remember how I mentioned in the first half about the word inclusivity and exclusivity, right? And, you know, that may be trigger words from some people. It's also, you know, talked about in our culture and social media, but this actually is very applicable to these readings. So if you could see things beyond the black and white ink that these words are printed on, for these words have meaning and they point and they become signs, just like the star that the three kings saw. That it wasn't just, oh, that's nice, I never saw that before, like, oh, great, and then you go back to what you're doing. No, they are of the mindset that there's something more than meets the eye. So just like that bumper sticker says that wise men still seek him. So what are you doing on this January 4th, 2024? Do you still see Christ? Do you still see signs in the everyday occurrences in your life? Because God constantly wants to befriend you, wants to talk to you, develop a relationship. It's only up to us to open up our spiritual eyes and ears to see and hear him. It's like as if you're tuning in to the right radio station, or, you know, CB radio, or for those who have, you know, ham radio license, you know, like myself, you know, to tune in to the correct frequency. Well, you got to turn into the God frequency. Call him up by making the sign of the cross, if you like, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you know, and you want a clear connection, don't you? And if you want the clear connection, have your heart and soul purified by the sacrament of confirmation. Then you can have that clearness, the clarity of the words that God speaking to you, and you can hear him and see him. So what happens here when we look at the black and white print on this missalette, or if you go to your scripture, and it says here, it goes, the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body, and co-partners. In other words, here St. Paul, remember, he's the top gun, he's the top scholar, the top student of the rabbi at that time, the rabbinical school of Gamaliel. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, Gamaliel or Gamaliel, I don't know. So that here, he says it three times in different ways, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, one, that we're members of the same body, two, and here's a third, co-partners in the promise of Jesus, of Christ Jesus. How? Through the gospel. You see? So he says it three times. And that, of course, the promise of Jesus would be true. Jesus is not going to lie, right? He is truth himself. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it was proclaimed by Paul, he said, through the gospel. But think about it. When the gospel was not written first, it was verbally spread, word of mouth. Like I gave you that example. St. John and Andrew, they went to go speak to their brother. Andrew went to Peter. John went to James and just spoke, you know, effervescently about the Savior, the Messiah they've been long awaiting for. So it was word of mouth. So when they see the gospel is the good news, they spread the good news. And when St. Paul wrote this Ephesians, this scroll, this parchment, all of these letters and the Gospels weren't put together officially until the Catholic Church put that together close to the year 400, okay? And so when we talk about the Gospel, well, they didn't have it all set. It was most of it word of mouth. And here's this scripture roll that I'm imagining Paul is writing on here, and then that's what they have. But not everybody had that. So So they had to hear, they passed it word of mouth, so that we Gentiles are members, are co-heirs, are partners. And so what's also interesting is, you know, St. Paul says, you know, he's not talking about hearsay. He says, you have heard of the stewardship. He's talking about facts, right, that they speak with their word of mouth. They didn't have a way to broadcast like we do, whether on social media, the radio, TV, and such. You know, so it's not hearsay, hey, have you heard this gossip about the stewardship of God's grace? No, that's not what he's saying. But here was the key. St. Paul is not bragging. He's actually just humbly telling facts. He's saying, hey, you've heard the stewardship of God's grace. You know how God is so gracious? He gave me, inclusively me, grace. But guess what? It's not just for me to be selfish and to use it on my own. It's actually it's not exclusive just for him, but it's actually for him to spread it so everybody is not excluded. They're included now. So it was exclusively given to him privately in a private revelation. So he says that, brothers and sisters, you've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me. So in other words, it was exclusively to him. But he goes on, for your benefit. So it would be inclusive. Namely, the mystery that was made known to me. He's getting a little deeper now. He said, how did this come about? By revelation. So in one sense, it was a private revelation, specifically, exclusively to Paul. But what does that mean? He realizes that he is supposed to spread it to the world and be inclusive. That's how God's work. God works. That he's like an arrow with that point. But then that spreads to the world. Think about a pebble going into a placid lake, and when it falls in there, or a rock, and then there's the ripples of the waves that go out. Or look at the earthquake that happened in Japan. What, they had like 21 or so earthquakes, you know, one bigger than the other. Then they have this tsunami, right, a few days ago. So God wants to make a tsunami of grace in our life. He pours it into the point of our heart or in our mind, whichever is more receptive, and then it should ripple out. But with the strong wave, this boost, this energy, this enthusiasm, this fervor and passion to move and do something great. And so St. Paul is somewhat saying, it's my own commentary now, that he had private revelation, which becomes public revelation. You know, you see how it starts as private and then becomes public. Because this was received by, you know, the apostle Paul, right? He's the least of the apostles. He's not one of the original 12. And then he goes on and says, it was not made known to people in other generations. So in other words, all those people in the past, you know, Adam and Eve, Moses, you know, Noah, Moses, you know, Isaac and Jacob and then King David and all that. It was only until him. He's not bragging. He's just saying he recalled the history. Look how important this time is, that Christ gave the message exclusively to him. He realized he's supposed to spread it to include everybody, and it was private revelation, and later it spreads to be public revelation, and then that it has now been revealed to whom? The holy apostles and prophets. How? By the Spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, the one who created you. That's who created you. The Lord, the giver of life. We say this in our creed. It's the Holy Spirit. So he says, he shows you where he gets this from and who got these private revelations that became public revelations, right? It went individually, privately to them, which then they shared it publicly and become public revelation that from God himself. So that, and what was that secret that was private that's now public? Hey, it's the Gentiles are co-heirs, members, co-partners, because Christ promised this through the gospel that spread word of mouth. This is the glory of the Lord spreading. And this is what happened when our Lord became in flesh and came in as a baby, conceived in the immaculate womb of our Blessed Mother, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, and then took on flesh 9 months in the womb, born on, in fact, December 25th. Some say it might be the 4 BC when that happened. And you can find astronomical, there's a difference between astronomy and astrology. Astrology would go against the first commandment, thinking that, you know, stars and planets have power over you and can predict what you're supposed to do or happen. No, by no means. So astronomy, the study of the stars, right, is that science where it can show that what happened. You know, there are various YouTube videos there that show the exact time Jesus was born based on history, our, you know, evidence, and also scientific and astronomic evidence as well. All right, so let's go to Matthew, the Gospel, chapter 2, and we're going to talk about the first 12 verses. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, now notice how very specific it gets here, right? So to show this is historical proof that this has happened, there's actually, so let's just go on. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he, meaning King Herod, inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means the least among the rulers of Judah, since you have come, and since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too may go and do him homage.' After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened the treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another route." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So isn't this amazing here? So here is the, you know, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, how they were offered these gifts, you know, to Jesus, right? And remember, these are Gentiles. And so looking at some commentaries here that it shows that these Magi, that they might have been, you know, scholars, philosophers, astronomers, and astrologers also, but they also might have believed in Zoroastrianism. In other words, they were from Persia, and they believed that there was a single God who is all good and all wise, and that was not like the Gentiles of the age. You know, because many of the Gentiles, you know, those people were not Jews, you know, they believed in many gods, and they were very immoral. So, but here was these three Magi who probably were believing in Zoroastrianism, that they you know, were monotheistic. I mean, they knew that the Jews were monotheistic, and they were very moral people. But yet they saw this star, right? And the star, some people think it was a fast-moving comet, but actually, from what science has been telling us, it appears there was a rare conjunction in the sky. And I'm not talking about, you know, apostrophes or grammar. I'm talking about when three bright planets actually, you know, got close in appearance. That and suppose that happened around 4 BC, because our calendars are actually off by about 4 years. So that's what they think the stars was. But the point about this conjunction of three bright planets coming so close together, they seem like one bright star. And again, this can be traced. They have some, you know, mathematical models and, you know, of showing this like in real 3D images of planets and how it can appear, that these magi looked at these stars and they saw something more than meets the eye. So it caused them to move to the point where they decided to trek out and find out who this was. What was it for? And that's why they needed help. And God allowed the star to disappear so they would ask for help. You see, otherwise they would just go directly, because they wanted to also be part of the way that this would be announced. And so what I'm trying to find here in the commentary, this actually comes from St. John Chrysostom. He's given a homily, and he said, the star had been hidden from them so that on finding themselves without their guide, they would have no alternative but to consult the Jews. In this way, the birth of Jesus would be made known to all. And this goes with the theme that I was telling you about, being inclusive versus exclusive. So this star was, you know, shown to all who would see, but it was exclusively through these three magi, and also the, you know, let's say there were three shepherds, but those who could see will see, okay? Whereas it's shown throughout all the people on the earth, but only few were able to see what lies behind these signs. So for these three kings, you know, the tradition would say they're Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, right, CMB, that these were the ones who saw what there was a sign behind all this. And here's the other important point. It wasn't for them only. It was for them to share. So that's why he went to Herod and would call in the priests so they would know too, because these priests were there, but yet they didn't uncover, they didn't realize about this. There's no record, as far as we see in Scripture, that they knew about this or was able to interpret it. But you have these three Gentiles who did interpret it correctly, you see? And so it was meant to be spread to everybody. So instead of being exclusive just to the three kings, it was spread to be including everyone, the Jews, and then the rest of the world. And this is how God works. He gives a specific grace. It's called gratuitous grace, not for us. So whether you have the gift of tongues or prophecy or healing, look at our beloved Kathleen. She doesn't keep it to herself. She spreads it, and she spreads it throughout the whole world, right? And so she passed the miracles of Christ through her to me so I can spread it to you, and all the miracles that happened in her life too, you see, and all the other people that she shared, countless of other people. This is what God does. He exclusively chooses people who will then inclusively include others. That's how God works. And so the graces he gives you, all you listeners out there, he's giving you grace. Ask for it. Asking shall receive. Seeking you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. That's Matthew 7:7. And then you are then going to be able to spread it through the world. And this is what happens. So before, we only got a few minutes here left, I want to talk about holy water and holy chalk. Why not? What I want to do that as well, because this weekend, you can try to get Epiphany water, right? Whether you get it like at St. Mary Magdalene in Newtown Square or St. Mary's in Conshohocken, where you can get, you know, this holy Epiphany water, which is triple blessed holy water. It's one of the highest power of holy water versus just singly blessed holy water. Believe me, there's a difference, right? And exorcists would tell you that. But also, you know, the holy water from Easter time also has extra special graces, of course, during that time. And so the holy chalk can be used, and the holy chalk would be blessed. You can get that at St. Mary's in Conshohocken there. And then there's a special prayer that the head of the household, the man of the house, can write on the doorpost of your house. So you'll have a better year. I mean, it's not superstitious. It's that you're going to just say a short prayer, and you're going to write, you know, the year 2024, and you're going to put like 20 and then put the C and the M and the B and the 24 and put a cross in between each of those letters and numbers. So 20 cross, C cross, M cross, B cross, 24, which means, you know, you're asking, you know, not the three kings for a blessing, but the CMB is Latin, meaning, if I remember right, the Latin is Christus mansionem benedictum, if I said it right or got the right endings there. But it says Christ blessed this home. And Christus, like Christ, and then mansionem, like the mansion, like the house. And then benedictum or benedictum, I forget what it is, but bless this house. Christ bless this house. That's what we're doing when we put the holy cross on there and put it above our door. So do that. And if you don't get to do it on this specific day, you know, because you want a priest or something on this Sunday, you know, ask, you know, have the head of the household, the man, the father, who's considered like the bishop of the home or the priest of the home, according to St. Augustine, if I understand it right. So that is the deal there with holy chalk and the holy water, that you can get the most powerful holy water, just like if you want to get, you know, aspirin or Tylenol or Advil, or do you need something very powerful that you need a prescription for, right? Well, here it's kind of like that. I mean, it's a very bad example, but I'm just trying to get that example to you that here's another source of sacramentals that our church has to bestow on us. If you are eager to move and to believe and have that faith, that fervor and devotion, because that's how sacramentals work. It depends on you, whereas sacraments depend on Christ. So you, when you go to confession for the sacrament of confession, you're forgiven. Whether you believe it or you doubt it, or you get the Holy Eucharist, whether the priest believes it or whether the priest doesn't believe it or you don't believe it, Christ transubstantiated that bread into his body. So these are the things, the difference, just real quick, about sacraments and sacramental. Sacramental is based on your faith and your fervor and devotion. It depends on your faith. It's not a superstition. So when you have your miraculous medal, your cross, your holy water, your Bible, novenas, these prayers, it will work, quote unquote, if you have the right faith, fervor, and devotion. But you got to make sure also you're in the right state of grace. I mean, if you're in mortal sin trying to do this, you know, it's like, you think about it, you think that's going to be, you know, really going to work? I mean, God can do anything what he wants, right? He can allow that. But the point is, it's like, try to take advantage of the holy water, holy chalk. This weekend's a great weekend. I hope my words are helpful. I got some from the commentary, but a lot was from my own words. And I just thank you so much for this privilege to have you listen to me on this network, on WTMR 800 AM, where the Master reigns, through In His Sign Catholic Radio. And again, we thank God for giving us Kathleen McCarthy for her ministry and this ministry and this network. And we're so blessed. Again, thank you for the engineer, Frank, and Maureen there, our secretaries and all that who work for and volunteer, all of the broadcasters. We do this for the love of God, love of neighbor, and please support us. God bless you. Have a good evening now. Dr. Anton signing off.